Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, if you are in the habit of taking notes, tonight would be a good night to do that. Our passage tonight is found in three different places in the Gospels, and I'd like to share those references with you so that you can study them out on your own. But Mark chapter 11 is where we're going to find our text, Mark 11, verses 27 through 33. This particular account in Scripture can also be found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 to 27. Matthew 21, 23 to 27. And also in the Gospel of Luke chapter 20, Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. And I'll make references to those. When we look in the Synoptic Gospels, we see these parallel passages. It's important for us to study all three so that we get the whole picture. I'll remind you, one of the greatest examples of that is when we see the sign that was written, that was placed above our Savior when He was on the cross. You have to look at all of the different Gospels to understand the whole picture of what was written. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and you have to look at all the different accounts to get the whole picture. The same thing is true many times, but there's a few little details that we gain from each one. But we're gonna focus here on Mark 11, 27. And if you're able, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. I want to say that I'm thankful for you being here tonight. I'm thankful for you joining us on the live stream. And what a blessing it is to spend time together around the Word of God. And tonight we're going to be learning about the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I told you that during this last week of Jesus' life on earth, before His crucifixion, He had come to Jerusalem, and they were going in and out of Jerusalem day after day. They were coming in and going out. You remember He was going in one day and cursed the fig tree. The disciples saw it going out one time. And so He's been going back and forth in and out of Jerusalem. And so here in verse 27, the Word of God says, they come again to Jerusalem. And as He was walking in the temple, there come to Him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto Him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you reveal to us through your word and through your spirit. Please teach us tonight. And Lord, help us to understand who has all authority. Lord, please help us to submit to your authority, to live our lives under your rule, in your reign, for we are bought with a price and we are not our own. Lord, we belong to you, and we thank you, and we pray that you help us to serve you faithfully all the days of our life. Please help us to be real disciples, making disciples for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. As Jesus was going in and out of Jerusalem, one day they come again into Jerusalem. And as He was walking in the temple, the chief priests, scribes, and elders come to the Lord Jesus. In Luke's account, in Luke 20 and verse 1, it says, it came to pass on one of those days, as He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon Him with the elders. Now, it's interesting how He gives us all of these different titles. These chief priests would be those who were in the spiritual realm of things, the temple worship realm of things. These were leaders in the temple worship. The elders would be those that were of the what people might call the laity. These were general people who were set up to be rulers or judges or elders over not so much religious matters, but more secular matters, more civil matters, if you will. And then you had the scribes. These were those who were trained in the reading and understanding of the Word of God and the copying of the Word of God. And so this would indicate that this was the Sanhedrin and that all of them came together. So this was not just a few people coming and finding Jesus and saying, hey, who gave you the right to do what you're doing? This was the entire council. This would have been probably 70 men who came and found Jesus in the temple while He's teaching, while He's preaching, and they come to Him. So this isn't just some couple of guys walking by. This was more of a formal inquiry. They wanted to know, by what authority are you doing these things? So you could just imagine, as Jesus comes to the temple, He's been doing that day after day. When Jesus shows up, people show up. There are going to be a lot of people listening there. He's probably not in the Gentile court. He's probably in the area that is only the Jews and probably the area that's just the Jewish men. But there are going to be a lot of people gathered there. Jesus is preaching and teaching the gospel there. And this massive group of chief priests and scribes and elders come and start to have an inquisition of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going on. Now, just as a side note, I want you to notice how Jesus is spending his last few days alive. He knows when he's going to be crucified. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And so Jesus is spending his last days going to the temple where people who are seeking to know God are gathering together to worship God. And Jesus goes out of his way to find those people and teach them the gospel of his kingdom. That's how he's going to spend his last days, is teaching and preaching the gospel. That ought to be a good challenge for you and I to spend our days preaching the gospel. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, listen, that's your job. You're the pastor. No, it's the job of every believer to proclaim the gospel everywhere we go. Amen. And you say, well, Jesus knew when his last days were. I don't. Exactly. You don't know when your last days are. And so we ought to be busy doing the things that our Savior did. And he spent his days walking and teaching and preaching the gospel to those who had a desire to know. Now, you and I, we don't know who has a desire to know. That's why we just cast the seed everywhere. But we need to be diligently reaching everyone we can with the gospel. Now, there was a question of authority. Tell us, by what authority, or who is he that gave thee this authority? Now, for the chief priests and scribes and elders, for them, they saw themselves as having authority. The priests would have been of the lineage of Levi. They would have been set aside for that purpose. There would have been a time that they would be in the rotation to serve in the temple. And so there was an appointment by birth and by the elders above them to set them in a place of being a priest. The elders would have been chosen as well. These are people who have been given authority by others to do the work. And so for their mindset, they were always focused on authority. Who gives you the authority? Who gives you the right? How do you have the power to do what you've been doing? But what is it they're asking about? Well, if you'll take the time later, you might just write down Matthew 21. And if you go back to around verse 12 and you read, you find that's where Jesus cast out those that sold and bought in the temple. The second cleansing of the temple. Jesus overthrows the tables of the money changers and he throws out the seats of those that sold doves. Listen, that's the second time. In the beginning of his ministry, he went to the temple and threw those people out. Now at the end of his earthly ministry, he does the same thing again. Now listen, the priests had a problem with that because they got money from that. Amen. And so they wanted to know, who gave you the authority to throw them out? He healed the blind and the lame in the temple. The children said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. There in the temple. And so these people come to Jesus and they say, who gives you the authority to cast out the money changers? Who gives you the authority to heal the blind and the lame? And can you just stop for a second and realize how idiotic that is? Amen. Listen, if he has the power to heal the blind and to cause lame people who can't walk to be able to walk, I wonder where his authority came from. Who has the power to do that but God? And so he accepts the praise of the children as they say, Hosanna to the Son of David. He is there preaching and teaching the gospel. And so they ask him the question, tell us by what authority you do these things. Tell us who gave you this authority. Now, we know that they were hoping to trap Jesus by their questions. They thought if he says his authority came from God, then they could accuse him of blasphemy. They could say, no, you're just pretending to be sent from God. You're not really from God. And they thought that if he said, no, if my authority comes from men, then they could say, well, we didn't give you any authority, and we have all the authority from God. And so, like all the time that they try to trick Jesus, it never works out for them, and they never learn. They never learn. There comes a time when they give up on trying to trip him up, and they just focus on trying to kill him. But I want you to just see, they always have this desire. I also want to, just as a side note, caution us to be careful in our attitude about authority. Sometimes we focus a lot about the authority that we have as a church. As a local New Testament church, we like to talk about our authority and what authority that we have. And I just want to remind you tonight, all authority belongs to Jesus. Amen. It's not my authority, and it's not your authority, it's His authority. And all we can do is act under the commands that He gives us. We have this much authority to do what Jesus tells us to do. Amen. We don't have any authority to do less than what He commands us to do. And we don't have any authority to do more than He commands us to do. We are to operate under His authority. Amen. So they ask a question of authority, and Jesus asks a question in return. Look at verse 29, Mark 11, 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question. And answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? Now, Jesus knows their thoughts, and He knows the intents of their heart. They want to know by what authority or who gave you authority. And so He turns the question back on them again. They thought to trap Him by thinking, well, if He says His authority is from heaven, or if He says His authority is from men, we've got Him. And so He just turns the question back, the intent of their question back on them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20 says this. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Did you notice what verse 19 says? He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. By the way, those point back to Job 5, verses 12 and 13. He takes the wise in their own craftiness. Listen, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. If you think you're wise in this world, then just leave the wisdom of this world behind and become a fool to the world so that you can be wise in the eyes of God. You see, the world has everything turned upside down. We live in a world today where evil is called good and good is called evil. Did you know that? And that's not new. It's been going on for a long time. But we see it much more prevalently today with the news that we have and the media that we have and the social media that we have, the connectedness that we have globally. It's just in our face all the time that the world calls what is evil good. And Jesus, and in the Word of God, it tells us the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So become a fool in the world's eyes so that you can be truly wise. But He takes the wise in their own craftiness. As they would come and be subtle and try to trick Jesus, try to trip Him up, try to trap Him, He just flips it around. He just flips it around on them. Jesus asks a question about John the baptizer. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Now, I personally believe that when Jesus asked the question, He's not just talking literally about the baptism that John did, but He was asking about the ministry of John. When you look back at John the Baptist, when you look back at his life and his ministry and his preaching and the message and the baptizing that he did, when you look back at that, hey fellas, do you think that came from heaven or do you think that was of men? Where do you think that it came from? And verse 31 says, they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. In Luke's account, in verse 6, in Luke 20 and verse 6, it says, but if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And so in their effort to trap Jesus, he turns the question around on them and he asks them about John's baptism, about John's ministry, and they get together. You could just see them huddling up. Amen. Can't you just in your mind? Just the whole wad of those fellas gets over and they're like, oh, I thought we had him there. And now they're trying to discuss it. All right, well, let's say it's from heaven, because all the people, you know, they think he's a prophet. Let's say, well, but if we say that, then he'll say, why didn't we believe him? Oh, okay, well, let's say that it was from men. No, we can't do that. The people will stone us. All the people think that John was a prophet sent from God. We can't say he was from men. And so you could just see him over there huddling. And we just read it in a couple of verses, but I've got an idea that this drug on for a while. Because a group of men trying to make a decision like this, it's not going to go easy. You can just hear them arguing back and forth, and they're reasoning within themselves, trying to come up with an answer. And all they can do is say, well, we can't say anything. We can't answer this question. He's got us. Guys, he's got us. No matter what we say, he's got us. We can't answer it. And so they break their huddle, and they come back to Jesus. And in verse 33 in our text, it says, they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. We cannot tell. I've got an idea that that was a lie. It wasn't that they couldn't tell. It's that they wouldn't tell. You see, I've got an idea that deep down in their heart of hearts, those men knew that John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, was from heaven. I've got an idea that they knew that his message was from God, that his ministry was ordained of God. I've got an idea that they knew, but they chose not to believe. So it wasn't that they couldn't tell, but rather that they wouldn't tell. John chapter 10 and verse 41 says, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Why is it that the scribes and elders and the chief priests couldn't admit that John's ministry was from God? Because they knew that everything he said about Jesus was the truth. And they couldn't admit that, because then they would have to accept Jesus. And they couldn't accept Jesus because then they would lose their position and their power, and their pride would suffer. I wonder, do you suppose there's men and women in the world today that can look at the messages of Scripture, they can listen to your testimony, they can see lives transformed by the gospel, they see evidence that people's messages about Jesus are true, but they can't accept that, because if they accept that, then they have to accept Jesus. And if they accept Jesus, they'll have to humble themselves in the sight of God. They'll have to give up their pride. They'll have to give up their possessions or their power or their position or whatever they perceive in their mind. They've got to give something up. I just want to tell you tonight, dear friend, to give up everything and gain Jesus is to give up nothing and gain everything. What does the profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Paul said, I had everything, and I counted all as dung, that I may win Christ, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. Listen, they were not willing to give up anything, and so they lost everything. They said, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. By what authority? Who gave you this authority? Well, let me ask you a question. If you answer my question, I'll answer your question. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from men? We can't tell that. Then I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. But he didn't need to tell them by what authority. Let me run you through a few scriptures tonight. I'm going to move very quickly, so if you're taking notes, you might jot them down quickly. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When Jesus came preaching and teaching, he came preaching with authority. They knew about his authority because they'd heard him speak with authority. In Mark chapter 1, verses 23 to 28. Mark chapter 1, verses 23 to 28. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. They knew about his authority because they had heard him speak with authority. They knew about his authority because he commanded unclean spirits and they obeyed him. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. Matthew 8, 8 through 13. This, boy, I love this. It encourages my heart. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Listen, that centurion understood something about authority, and even that centurion, even that pagan, even that Roman, he understood and he recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I see the authority that you have because I see that I have authority, that I can command people and they do what I tell them to because I have authority. And Jesus, I know that you have authority over sickness and even death." Jesus goes on in Matthew 8:11, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus saith unto the centurion, "Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Listen, Jesus has authority to cast out the unclean. He has the authority to heal those that are sick. And I just want you to see that Jesus didn't need to tell them where his authority came from. He displayed his authority. He declared his authority all throughout the past 3 years. Matthew 9, verses 2 through 8. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power," that's the same word, authority, "that the man, Son of Man hath power or authority on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." But he wasn't just a man. He was the Son of Man and he was the Son of God. But even those people there recognized his authority to forgive sins. Matthew 10:1. "When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Listen, when he sent out the disciples, he sent out the apostles, he gave them authority. He gave them power. You can't give someone power that you don't have. You can't dispense authority unless you have authority. And Jesus gave them authority. Of course, we know Matthew 28, 16 through 20. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said, I have all authority. And then he gives us the command to go. And I want to remind you yet again, the command for us in verse 19 is, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach literally means to go and make disciples. Under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power in heaven and earth, we're to go and make disciples. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. Mark 13, 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Our master has all authority, and he's left us business to do under his authority. You see, Jesus wouldn't tell them by what authority he did those things, because he'd already declared his authority. He'd already displayed his authority. They had everything that they needed to believe and to be a part of his kingdom and to live their lives under his authority, but they would not. They would not. Because of their pride. I like to keep things pretty simple. And I'd just like to remind all of us tonight that all authority belongs to Jesus. All power and glory and honor belong to Jesus. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's not even about all of us collectively as a church. We belong to Jesus. And instead of worrying about authority so much, like the scribes and Pharisees and chief priests and elders did, what we ought to do is just obey the one who has all authority. We ought not waste our time trying to determine whether this is authority or they have authority or who has authority. What we ought to understand tonight is Jesus has all authority. And he's given us work to do. And all there is for us to do is trust him and obey him. It's just that simple. So what do? Well, we strive to be like our Savior. And as we're walking, as we're going in and out on any given day, I love how Luke says, on one of those days, just one day, just a day, as he was going, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And you and I, as we go through our days, ought to be busy doing the work he's called us to do. This evening, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and our musicians to come. Who has the power to cancel sin? Who has the power to forgive? Who has the power to heal? Who has the power to equip us and empower us to do the work? Jesus. Tonight we simply look to him. Just want to encourage you tonight, if he's convicting your heart about anything, if you find in your heart you've been disobedient to his commands, whether in your walk with him personally, in your role in your family, in your faithfulness in the church, whatever it is, he has all authority. He has given us commands. And if we're not walking in obedience, we need to repent. We need to put ourselves back under the command of King Jesus tonight. If he's convicting your heart, you come.